Silver of Ink, written by Paul M.M. Cooper and read by Manuv Diara.
Rata Watakara Weta Bendat Kata Watakara Weta Bandina Be. You can build a fence around the country, but you can't build a fence around the mouth. Sinhala proverb. And there landed a man who held to a false creed, whose heart rejoiced in bad statesmanship, who was a fire in the forest of good, who was a sun that closed the night lotuses of wisdom, a moon that closed the day lotuses of peace, a man by the name of Magga, an unjust king sprung from the Kalinga line. The Chulavamsa, The Chronicles of Sri Lanka, Chapter 80, The 16 Kings. Book 1. Smoke. Chapter 1. Do you remember the minor birds that used to live in the courtyard outside your room? On the day the city fell, they were all twittering, louder than I'd ever heard them, and flying from tree to tree in a flock. The noise was tremendous. While I watched them through the lattice, I was thinking about what would happen if the king had cords tied to each of their tails, how it wouldn't be long before the net they wove would wrap up the sky and black out the sun. There was a man out there too, a Muslim man, sitting beneath a shade tree with lamps lined up in a blanket, singing in a slow, cracked voice. Little lamps, buy your little clay lamps for the long dark nights. You must remember this. You were sitting right there beside me, your back straight and your forehead furrowed, murmuring the letters to yourself as you cut them. Ma, ha, ra. You were a quick learner, and by then I didn't have to guide your hand. I did sometimes, though, because its back was smooth and freckled and cool to the touch. I would glance at your moving lips, too, and the winding, interlaced ribbons of hair that rolled down your back. That hair. I still dream of that hair sometimes. When I do, it melds with my dreams of rivers, so I am floating in it, then drowning. It was hot, and I was losing control of myself, sitting so close. So I tried to watch the minor birds instead. You've been looking out there for so long, you said. What's so interesting? Just the birds, I said. Have you ever seen so many flocking inside the city? He didn't answer. I listened to the noise they were making and the sound of your stylus slicing paper, a scratching like the insects that burrow through the palace woodwork at night. A girl of your position should never have been writing. A man of my position should never have been teaching you. We both knew these things, and so fear was our constant third classmate. Sometimes, maybe once or twice a week, we would hear footsteps outside the door of your room, or the sound of raised voices in the servant quarter outside, and we would hush each other. One of us would be overcome by panic, and the other would always follow. We would fumble to pack everything away, the charcoal, stylus, oil, paper, cramming it into my bag, shoveling it under the table. Then the footsteps would pass, or the voices would start arguing about the price of a cupful of millet, and we would catch sight of each other, hearts pounding, hands dirtied with charcoal, dust and oil, and breathe out. But when the bells began to ring on that day, it was different. He didn't stop writing. He barely moved, and I'll always remember that. Even the birds outside faltered in the air, swung round and weaved back to their branches, as though they knew the difference between the bronze bells in the temples and the heavy iron ones on the walls. Those short, yelping peals. Soon the bells were joined by shouting in the distance and the sound of hooves in a nearby street. But it didn't immediately occur to me what was going on. In the courtyard, the Muslim man stopped his singing. He wrapped up his lamps,